to her.
Mike! Mike! Ah!
Her voice rose, and her body stiffened. She had felt this rush before, but never with such an intensity. The books her grandmother had given her had always mentioned seeing the flashing of lights behind closed eyes and mind-numbing pleasure, but she had always thought the author had penned a gross exaggeration of the feelings one could feel. As her body melted against his, she decided that she was the one who had been in error. The feelings were much more intense. She groaned when his fingers slipped from her still throbbing clit, and he turned her in his arms.
"This is just the beginning,"
he promised, when she looked at him with a dazed expression.
"Does that mean it is my turn to wash you?"
she purred, fingering his hair on the back of his head as she rubbed against his hard cock.
"Son of a..."
Marina captured Mike's soft expletive with her lips. If the stories she read were true, she could give as much pleasure to him as he had given to her. She planned to do a little exploring herself to find out. Mike drew in a deep breath when Marina ran her hands up and down his chest. She curled her fingers in his dark, coarse hair and gently tugged on it. He lowered his eyelids when she moved them over his nipples. They were hard and extremely sensitive. He hissed out the breath he was holding when she flicked them with her fingernail. His cock jerked under her rolling hips. The feel of her soft flesh rubbing along his long shaft made him grit his teeth. She leaned forward and brushed her breasts back and forth against his chest. Her lips paused a breath away from his, and her eyes glittered with fierce desire. For a moment, Mike wondered if he had died back on the beach and somehow landed in this perfect afterlife.
"I want to wash you," she murmured against his lips. "And taste you."
"Damn," Mike swore, closing his eyes when she reached down between them and wrapped her hand around his blood-engorged cock. His head fell back as she stroked him. He could hear her picking up the bar of soap. Seconds later, she ran the bar across his chest and shoulders. While she washed him with one hand, she continued to glide from the tip of his ultra-sensitive head down to the base of his rock-hard sack with the other. He lifted his arm when she ran her hand up under it before sliding down across his stomach. His hips moved up and down, not pausing when she briefly held him with a double-fisted grip. He groaned and opened his eyes when she pulled back, releasing his cock and sliding her hands along his parted thighs. She smiled at him with confidence built on the knowledge that she held him completely enthralled. Licking her bottom lip, she motioned for him to turn around and stand. Mike did as she bade. He made sure that his cock brushed against her parted lips. That move turned out to be a huge mistake when her tongue darted out and she swiped the tip of it.
"Marina,"
he warned, clenching his fists.
"Not yet," she replied, with a secretive smile. "You deserve to feel the pleasure as well."
He growled under his breath and turned when she stood up and placed her hands on his hips. Mike looked down, following her hand, as she picked up the bar of soap once again. He wished there was a mirror on the wall he was facing like there was on the other side. All he could do was close his eyes and imagine what she looked like, standing behind him, rubbing her hands over his shoulders and down his back to his buttocks. He stiffened when he felt her fingers trail along the crevice.
"I think I might be attracted to your ass as well," she said, pressing her breasts against his back and running her soapy hands down between his cheeks.
"Damn, woman, I'm never gonna make it if you keep this up," he muttered in a hoarse voice.
"We have all night," she murmured.
All night was not going to be enough for him. She slid her soapy hands around his waist and double-fisted his cock again. He bowed his head and opened his eyes, watching with pleasure as she slid her hands back and forth. The tip of his cock was so full that beads of pre-cum seeped from the bluish-purple bulbous tip. A shudder ran through him when her fingers brushed over the tiny slit.
"I won't make it," he exclaimed in a harsh voice, reaching down and gripping her wrists.
He turned in her arms, his face taut as he fought for control.
"Rinse and bend over the side."
Marina sank down into the water. Mike followed her, rinsing the soap from his body. His hand gripped his cock. He squeezed his throbbing penis, hoping to hold off his need to come so that he could make her come again. That hope faded when she rose and pulled the towel laid out to the side close enough that she could lean her elbows on it. Her beautiful ass was raised in the air, and he could see the swollen folds part. Kneeling behind her, he spread her lips and pressed two fingers into her, stretching her while using his thumb to play with her damp clit. He bent forward and nipped her left cheek. As he'd hoped, slick moisture guided his fingers deeper. Stroking her, he pushed deeper and deeper until he felt the thin membrane barrier. He slid his fingers free and rose up behind her. He guided his cock to her channel, the film of his pre-cum mixing with moisture. They were both more than ready. He slid the tip of his cock inside her, pausing to give her time to adjust. His legs trembled as he watched his cock slowly disappear. He could feel her tight channel wrapping around him. Sliding his hands to her hips, he held her rocking hips still to give him time to regain control.
"I'll try not to hurt you," he said in a strained voice,
locking his eyes with hers in the mirror.
"Pleasure can be painful sometimes," she whispered, staring back at him with unblinking eyes as she pushed back.
"Damn, Marina,"
Mike cried out, feeling his cock slip deeper inside her. The thread of his controls snapped when he felt the barrier separating them break, and he leaned forward, caging her beneath him. He released her hips to cup her breasts as he began to rock with the primitive need to mark and claim the woman as his. He pinched her nipples, watching the flash of pain turn to immediate pleasure as he drove into her. He released one breast to slide his hand down between her legs. He found the sensitive spot he was searching for and began to stroke it to the same intense rhythm of his thrusts. Her fingers splayed around the smooth tile surrounding the tub, and she thrust her hips back, encouraging him to take her without restraint. As she came, her long, loud cry echoed through the room. Her canal squeezed his cock with such pressure that he swore they were no longer two people, but one. He rocked his hips faster and faster, despite her body's resistance in allowing him to pull out. The bulbous tip sank deep, and he felt the powerful force of his seed spilling from him. He ground his hips against her buttocks, pushing as deep as his cock could go. Behind his closed eyelids, he saw the white sparks connecting with strands of brilliant color. The threads arced outward, wrapping around their bodies. Falling forward, he placed his hands along either side of Marina's body, holding her pinned beneath him. His body was still locked to hers. They were both breathing heavily, and he could feel her trembling.
"Will it always be like this?" she whispered,
her head bowed and her eyes closed.
"Something tells me it will be even better," he murmured, pressing a kiss to her shoulder.
"I would like that," she answered with a sigh.
An hour later, Mike gently laid Marina in the large bed. She turned and snuggled up against him when he slid in beside her. He wrapped an arm around her and pulled her close. He ran his hand tenderly up and down her bare arm after she released a contented sigh and wrapped her leg around his. He stared up at the ceiling, lost in thought as his satiated body relaxed. They had stayed in the bath until the chill of the water drove them out. Mike hoped the warm water would soothe any soreness Marina might feel while giving him time to regain control of his trembling body. He swore he'd seen fireworks going off in his head when they made love. For someone as inexperienced as Marina, she had to be the sexiest woman he ever met. She hadn't frozen or resisted any of his touches. Her trust was a precious gift he didn't want her ever to regret giving him. Having his share of lovers over the years, especially through his teens to his late 20s, none had touched his heart the way Marina did. The last few years had been different. He realized that he'd moved from the stage in his life where he was just seeking mindless pleasure to wanting something deeper. Restless, he hadn't known what he was looking for until he met Marina.
"I love you, Marina," he murmured, turning his head and pressing a kiss to her forehead.
His arms tightened around her when she briefly stiffened. He waited. This was new and very unfamiliar territory for him. He had never told a woman that he loved her before.
"I love you as well, Mike," she said,
tilting her head back. He could see the happiness in her eyes.
"Together, we make strong magic."
Mike chuckled.
"Give me a couple of hours and I'll show you just how much we can make," he teased, relaxing against the pillows.
A smile lifted the corners of his lips even as his eyelids drooped in exhaustion. His body was still humming from his release and the feel of the woman in his arms. He would give them both a few hours to recoup before he woke her.
"We both have a lot more exploring to do," he thought,
falling into a deep, restful sleep. Marina smiled in the darkness and snuggled closer to Mike's warm body. His arms held her close against him, even as she felt his body relax when he fell asleep. Tilting her head, she studied his strong face. She raised her hand and traced the faint lines near the corner of his mouth with her fingers. His lips parted, and he released a sigh in his sleep. She decided he had a strong face. His skin was tanned from the sun like hers, and he had thick, dark brown hair. His vivid blue eyes reminded her of the sky on a clear day. There was a slight bump in the center of his nose, as if it had been broken at one time, and a scar near his upper lip that was so faint she just noticed it. With her fingers, she traced the rough beginnings of a beard forming along his jaw. She couldn't help remembering her conversations with her grandmother as she studied him. She had thought her grandmother was joking when the old woman had told her about what it was like to pleasure a man and to be pleasured by one. Her mother had brushed over details, blushing and stammering as she tried to explain. There had been a lot of stuttering, humming, and sighs. Her father's mother, LaDonna, on the other hand, had cackled and shared fantastic stories with Marina about her different lovers and who had been the best of the best. Her grandmother had gone into so much detail that Marina didn't know if she would believe half of what LaDonna was saying or not. By the end, Marina had seriously decided she might live the rest of her life as a hermit in the elder forest caring for the trees. It sounded safer. A small part of her was thankful she had never known her father's father. She didn't think she would ever have been able to look the man in the eye if she had. From the sound of it, the only reason her grandmother knew which one of her lovers had been her grandfather was because of the timing between her affairs. After her grandfather's untimely departure, her grandmother had explored the kingdoms and beyond, according to her, in search of new adventures. If that hadn't been more information than Marina wanted to know, her grandmother had given her books to read that she said were retrieved from a distant world.
"They are called romances," LaDonna had chuckled. "They make you wet."
Marina had been very naive at 18 summers. She had always been more interested in talking to the trees than talking to the boys in the village. LaDonna had handed her 6 of these books and told her to read them.
"I cast a spell to translate them. These are my favorites, so be sure to bring them back. And don't let your brothers read them," LaDonna had instructed her.
Marina had taken the books. She had shaken them, opened them, and inspected them, but for the life of her couldn't figure out how they were supposed to make her wet. Then she read one, and understood. By the sixth book, she had learned how to take care of not only the wetness they caused, but the uncomfortable ache they left her feeling after devouring them. Until Mike, she had never had the desire to allow anyone else to take care of the uncomfortable feelings that left her restless and moody. Now, she not only understood what those women in the books were feeling, but she never wanted it to end.
As long as it is with Mike, she thought, as she rested her hand over his heart and closed her eyes.
Chapter 16 Early the next morning, Mike and Marina stood on the front entry steps to the palace. Mike kept his arm wrapped protectively around Marina. After last night, he knew that she belonged to him, just as he belonged to her. It was more than the lovemaking. Their connection had melded them on a level that he never realized was possible. It was as if the two of them had become one, thinking, feeling, and working in unison. He couldn't help wondering if his mom and dad had felt this same kind of connection during their many years of marriage. It was strange how he could suddenly remember them finishing each other's sentences, knowing when the other needed something, and the aching loneliness they felt when they were apart. He briefly glanced at Orion and Jenny, where they stood waiting, along with their two sons, Dolph and Juno. Orion had his arm wrapped around Jenny's waist. After talking with Jenny and seeing how happy she was, he felt confident that whatever brought her here, whether it was the Sea Witch or fate, it was the right thing. Turning his gaze away, he looked around and frowned when he noticed everyone was looking up at the sky. "Are you sure they're coming?" Mike asked. "They'll come," Orion replied with confidence.
"I hope they bring DJ and Stone,"
Juno said, barely containing his excitement as he waited. Mike leaned toward Marina so he could speak close to her ear.
"Why do all the adults seem a bit tense?" he murmured.
"Each ruler is extremely powerful in their own way. Many years ago, there was a great war that divided our kingdoms and pitted one against the other. It was later learned that the war was instigated by the Sea Witch," Marina explained.
Mike fought the urge to roll his eyes.
"Why am I not surprised?" he muttered.
"You should not be surprised by anything my cousin does," Orion stated. "She turned all of the dragons to stone."
He grimaced when he heard a loud, ground-shaking roar.
"Except, of course, for Drago, the king of the dragons. I don't know why he insists on making a dramatic entrance every time they arrive," Orion added with a shake of his head.
Mike's eyes widened, and he took a step back. His hand pulled free of Marina's, and he automatically began to reach for the gun under his jacket. Marina placed her hand on his arm and shook her head.
"I've only seen the king of the dragons from afar at the palace, when I was visiting Isha," she breathed in awe.
The first thing Mike saw was a swarm of unusual white birds. They swept over the wall of the palace and through the front entrance. He watched as they wove through the guards before spiraling upward. A moment later, a dark shadow appeared overhead. Mike's eyes followed the huge dragon as it circled the courtyard. The creature's midnight black scales shone brightly in the early morning light. The dragon snapped at a few of Orion's guards as he swooped down. The guards ducked, but didn't move until Capion called out an order to give Drago more room.
"What is that on his back?" Mike asked, trying to make out the wiggling movements.
"All right! They came!" Dolph exclaimed.
Mike watched as the two boys standing next to Jenny darted down to the bottom of the steps to wait in excitement. He looked back up at the sky. Drago circled once more before he landed in the center of the courtyard. The large dragon turned in a tight circle, snapping and snarling at the guards closest to him, before he stopped and lowered his right wing. The heads of two small dragons popped up from between his wings. Mike watched in awe as they slid down the wing to the ground and shifted into two boys slightly younger than Juno. All four boys laughed and ran toward each other. The male dragon turned his gaze to the sky. Mike followed his gaze. A smaller dragon appeared, protected on all sides by the swarm of birds. She swept down over the wall, wobbling a little and barely missing the top. Two guards had to dive to the side to keep from being knocked off. Drago snorted and shook his head. Mike heard Orion chuckle.
"I see she hasn't improved much," Orion said.
"Orion," Jenny chided. "Carly was never graceful when she walked. I can't imagine how hard flying must be, especially carrying little Rue."
It took a moment for Mike to remember what Jenny had told him about Carly being able to turn into a dragon. His gaze moved to the small dragon clutched against the dragon's chest. This one was smaller than the first two who had been on Drago's back. Even from where he was standing, Mike could see two pink bows attached to the pair of tiny horns on her head.
"Bows?" Mike chuckled, amazed by the sight.
"She is adorable,"
Marina breathed out in delight. Mike glanced at Marina's grinning face before turning back to the dragon who was landing beside Drago. A swift shaft of desire to see Marina holding their child struck him hard. The image shook him.
"Since when have I ever thought of having kids?" he thought in surprise.
He took a quick breath when he saw the dragon shimmer before changing to a woman whose face he had only seen in photographs. He took a step forward, then another two, stopping three steps down when he was positive that the woman was really who he thought she was.
"Carly Tate!" he exclaimed.
Carly turned to look up at him in surprise when she heard her name. Unfortunately, so did the large male dragon. His head whipped around, and he took a step toward Mike. The dragon bared his teeth and moved his body in front of Carly and the little dragon she was holding.
"Drago!"
Orion warned, stepping down a step and positioning himself between Drago and Mike.
"Who is he? And how does he know my mate?" Drago demanded with a snarl.
"He is from Carly and Jenny's world. He has been searching for them," Orion said. Drago's lips curled, and a long, rumbling growl of warning reverberated through the air. Mike's fingers twitched. He'd feel a hell of a lot better if he had his gun out, though he wasn't sure it would be very effective.
"Well, he found her. Now he can return to his world. If he tries to take my Carly, I'll kill him," Drago ordered.
A small, strained chuckle escaped Mike at the familiar threat, and he shook his head.
"That is a pretty common theme around here," he commented, looking directly into Drago's glowing eyes. "I'll tell you the same thing I told Orion. My job is to make sure that the missing women, in this case Carly Tate and Jenny Ackerley, were found and are safe. If they want to return to our world, that is entirely up to them. I just need to know they are not being held against their will or need help."
Drago shifted. Mike decided the tall, broad man with the long black hair and piercing golden eyes which had the flicker of flames dancing in them was just as much of a threat as the damn dragon. Staring unblinkingly back at the man, he waited for the man to respond.
"You're the cop that Jenny told me about. I'm Carly," the woman said, holding out the dragon in her arms to Drago as she passed him.
"Carly," Drago said, in exasperation, taking his daughter.
"Detective," Mike corrected with a reassuring smile.
"Miss Tate, it is good to see that you are alive and, well, alive."
Carly laughed.
"I don't know about that. Little Rue is teething. We thought she had a cold, but we discovered another tooth last night when she bit Drago. When Drago got the invitation to come, there was no way I was staying behind," she said.
"I wouldn't have left you alone anyway," Drago replied. "Did you forget that you were supposed to stay behind me until I ensured everything was safe?"
Carly rolled her eyes at Drago.
"Of course it's safe. We've been here dozens of times. And do you see a lack of guards anywhere?" she demanded with a wave of her hand.
Drago started to growl, but the sound died when the little dragon in his arms grabbed his hand between her front claws and began chewing on his finger. The growl turned into a wince. He pulled his finger free and inspected it.
"No bite, Jen," Drago said.
"Grr, I know, Jen. I rue now," the tiny dragon growled before showing off her shiny new tooth.
Carly shook her head.
We've been calling her by her middle name ever since I discovered Jenny was here. It saves us from the confusion, and she loves it, she said.
Jenny laughed.
Why don't we take the boys to the playroom? Dolph and Juno are thrilled that the boys are back, and Rue can play with Lucy after I feed her, she offered. Food! Rue demanded, suddenly shifting to a chubby little girl with wide golden eyes.
We will wait for the others to arrive, Orion said with a nod.
Others? Is Uncle Osher coming?
Stone asked with a hopeful look. He is not your uncle, Drago began, before Carly elbowed him and he grunted. Well, he isn't. Osher isn't even a dragon.
Mike pursed his lips together when he saw Drago grimace and a stubborn expression settled on his face. It appeared that Carly Tate was not in the least bit intimidated by the large man. Drago handed Rue to Carly when she held out her hands.
He's a pirate!
DJ, Drago's oldest son, exclaimed, pulling a wooden sword from his side.
Attack, mates!
Come on, you scurvy dogs, Carly ordered before she leaned up and brushed a kiss across Drago's lips.
Be nice to Osher.
Mike turned and stepped aside to allow Carly, Rue, and the group of boys who were now planning their creation of a pirate ship into the playroom behind him. The excited chatter quickly died away as Jenny, Carly, and the children disappeared inside. Slowly walking up the steps to stand next to Marina, Mike once again felt like he had awakened in the matrix of a bizarre world.
I don't know why the boys think being a pirate is better than being a dragon, Drago muttered.
Dolph and Juno think the same thing, Orion admitted.
I could turn him into a burnt pirate with one breath, Drago stated.
Well, don't. For some unknown reason, both Jenny and Carly like the man, Orion said with a long sigh. Speaking of which, he has arrived.
Mike watched the arrival of a large carriage being pulled by a dozen horse-like creatures that would make a Clydesdale back home look like a Shetland pony. The creatures were blue, with black stripes. Their red eyes flashed as they tossed their heads. Ornate silver armor covered their foreheads and chests.
Is that fire coming out of their nostrils? Mike asked.
Nolly's going to kill him, Drago and Orion said at the exact same time.
Nolly? Mike repeated.
Mike swallowed when he felt the hair on the back of his neck suddenly stand up. He swore he could feel the electricity in the air. The thought had no sooner flashed through his mind when he heard the rumbling of thunder. Looking up from the fire-breathing horses, he frowned when all he saw were blue skies.
I've only heard about her and the mythical thunderbirds that power her ships, Marina murmured.
Mike could feel his jaw slowly open wide as a futuristic ship came into view. There were four massive birds on each corner of the ship. Threads of electricity ran through their wings, snapping and popping. On the bow, holding onto a long rope, a tall, dark-skinned woman wearing a blood-red blouse and black trousers rested one booted foot on the low railing and stared down at them.
Holy shit,
Mike started to say, when she dove off the flying ship, almost 100 feet in the air. Long wings suddenly appeared from her back, and she soared downward. She pulled up just before she reached the carriage and landed on the roof. The wings on her back folded and disappeared as she knelt on one knee and braced her hand against the carriage roof.
I'm going to love watching this. I bet half a gold piece that Nolly wins, Drago said, rubbing his hands together.
Who is that? Marina asked,
shielding her eyes and looking back up at the ship when a rope dropped down.
Corgan.
Orion replied.
He's a huge son of a bitch, Mike muttered.
He should be. He's the king of the giants, Drago replied.
Only Nolly could talk that hard-headed giant off his isle, Orion commented.
He refused to help us when the queen sent a missive, Marina bitterly retorted.
Mike threaded his fingers through Marina's and squeezed her hand in reassurance. The man looked down and waved his hand to a group of guards. Capian turned and shouted out an order. The guards quickly retreated,
clearing an area about the size of a basketball court.
"What's he doing?" Mike asked.
Orion pursed his lips.
"Ruining my courtyard," he retorted.
Mike frowned at Orion and looked back up. His breath caught when the man casually stepped off the flying ship. A fall from that height would kill a normal man. The protest that started on his lips once again faded when the man began to grow and grow and grow and grow.
"Brace yourselves," Orion said.
Mike wrapped his arm around Marina and pulled her tightly against his body. The tall man had grown into a giant that stood close to 60 feet tall. The man bent his knees as his feet finally touched the ground. Mike expected the impact to create a thunderous quake. The ground did tremble, but it was more the rolling effect of a 3.0 quake instead of the catastrophe he was expecting. Corgan stood up and grinned. Nolly rose to her feet on the roof of the carriage and placed her hands on her hips, while another elegantly dressed man leaned out of the carriage and clapped his hands in applause.
"Bravo, Corgan, bravo! Splendid entrance, my friend," the man in the carriage called from the window.
Corgan's laugh sounded like thunder. The fire-breathing horses danced and nervously kicked their prancing hooves. Mike watched as Nolly snapped her fingers and the horses instantly settled down.
"Nolly, my beautiful empress, I can explain," the man warily began, twisting around to look up at the woman standing on the roof of his carriage.
"I swear, Asha, I should slit your thieving throat and be done with it," Nolly threatened.
"She won't," Orion assured Mike.
Draco glanced over his shoulder.
"I'd almost pay a gold piece to see that," he said, refocusing his attention on the scene in front of him.
"Would that be dragon's gold or sea gold?" Asher asked.
Mike shook his head while Marina giggled at the antics between the different rulers. He was too fascinated watching the giant Corgan shrink down to a large man and Nolly's graceful flip off the roof to pay attention to anything else. Asher grimaced and held out his hands when Nolly pulled open the door to the carriage and shook her finger at him in a scolding manner.
"I was bringing them to you, Nolly. I stole them off a ship heading to the edges of our world. The poor things were in dire condition, and I've..."
Asher's voice died when Nolly pinned him to the side of his carriage with one hand.
"You are lucky that I love the brandy that you have, Asha. 2 cases, delivered within the week," she demanded.
2 bottles! And a reward for saving your stallions from the clutches of scoundrels who would have harmed such magnificent beasts,"
Asher countered. Nolly gave Asher a suspicious look before she released him.
1 case, and I won't charge you for the use of my stallions," she said, releasing him.
"Dapier," Asher called.
"Aye, your majesty," Dapier replied.
Mike could appreciate how Asher casually adjusted the sleeves of his dark brown jacket. The man was cool and calm, considering that a woman with wings had just held him up by the neck with one hand. Mike decided that he would have to be very cautious about who he pissed off here. If they didn't burn you to a crisp or step on you, they could rip you apart with one hand.
"Please unload my luggage, return the carriage to my ship, and inform Captain LeBluff to have 3 bottles of my finest brandy delivered to..."
He paused and raised an eyebrow at Nolly.
"I'll send several of my cyclops to retrieve the stallions and the case of brandy," she said.
"You're killing me, Nolly," Asher groaned.
"Aye, your majesty. The stallions and a case of your finest brandy," Dapier replied, climbing down.
Chapter 17 Marina stood near the wall in the large room. Orion had escorted the group into the room after determining that no one else would be arriving. Nolly had shaken her head when Orion had quietly asked if she had been in contact with the king and queen of the elementals.
"No. Either they have shrouded their isle, or something else has happened. I was unable to locate it," Nolly explained.
"I told you, Rugor had floated his kingdom away," Asher said, wiggling his fingers.
Marina giggled and leaned close to Mike.
I like him. He is funny, she murmured.
He's a pirate, Mike retorted with a shake of his head. Talk about stereotyping. He could be straight out of the movies. The only difference is he is a lot cleaner.
Marina bit her lip when the Pirate King turned and winked at her. She squeezed Mike's hand when he shot Asher a warning look. Mike turned to gaze down at her with a wry grin.
Another new experience for me, he confessed.
What is that? She asked, tilting her head to look up at him.
Jealousy, he murmured.
Marina drew in a swift breath when he bent and captured her lips in a possessive kiss. She turned into him and threaded her fingers through his hair while returning his kiss.
Looks like you missed another one, Asher, Nolly commented.
Asher grinned. It is the history of my life. I find an enchanting woman, and she is already taken. Except for you, my beautiful empress, he retorted with a wicked smile.
Oh, goddess help me, Nolly groaned, turning to look at Orion and Drago. Please, tell me where I can find a woman who would put up with this thief.
Corgan laughed.
Is there such a woman? He asked.
Asher gave the group a pained look and walked over to the bar. He picked up several bottles and examined them before he chose one and walked back to the table with it. Pulling off the glass stopper, he poured himself a glass before sitting down.
I believe we were asked to attend a meeting here for something more serious, he prompted, with a lift of his glass toward Orion. I would hate to come all this way just to lose my fire beasts and an excellent case of brandy.
Orion nodded in response, turned, and signaled Marina and Mike to step forward. Each ruler settled down around the table. Drago leaned over, grabbed the bottle of liquor in front of Asher, and poured two glasses. He then pushed them toward Marina and Mike.
Marina, please explain to the others what you have shared with me, Orion encouraged, waving for them to sit down.
Mike pulled out a chair for Marina. She gave him a grateful smile before sitting down and nervously wrapping her hands around the glass of amber liquid. She took a deep breath and released it before slowly studying the face of each person at the table.
My name is Marina Fay. I am a witch from the Isle of Magic, and I have come to beg for your help, she began.
Over the next half hour, she shared everything that had happened to her people and herself. Mike reached over and gripped her hand as she impatiently wiped a tear that coursed down her cheek as she told them about what happened to Jeff and the sacrifice her grandmother had made for them to be there.
Please help us, King Drago. You know what it feels like to lose those you care about. She is slowly killing my people, the way she killed yours,
Marina forced out in a trembling voice. A muscle ticked in Drago's jaw. His expression was hard, and his eyes cold.
Marina wasn't sure if she should have mentioned the loss of Drago's people, but she wanted him to understand the hopelessness she was feeling.
Drago turned to look at Orion.
I'm going to kill that bitch, he announced.
Drago, remember what I told you before, Nolly cautioned.
Drago slammed his fist into the table. The wood snapped under the force. A long crack appeared, and the glasses and bottle of liquor began to slide toward the center when the table started to cave in. Marina splayed her hands over the wood and spoke to it. Her magic flowed through her, healing the fractured wood. Each of the rulers had risen when the table began to collapse. Mike laid his hand on her back. A surge of magical power flowed through her, stronger with his light touch, even though her magic was not impeded on this kingdom.
I love the power of magic, Asher replied with a sigh.
Marina blinked and glanced around those standing by the table.
My powers are mostly with wood, she said.
Orion scowled at Drago.
The next time there is a meeting, we are having it on the Isle of the Dragons. Between Corgan putting giant footprints in my courtyard and you almost breaking a 1,000-year-old table, I'm about ready to ban you both from my home, he snapped.
What about Asher?
Corgan said with a raised eyebrow.
"What have I done?"
Asher demanded, glaring at Corgan.
"The silver dagger on the tray,"
Corgan chuckled. Asher grimaced and pulled the silver dagger, which he had picked up off of a tray sitting on the meeting room bar, from his pocket. He balanced it on his finger for a moment before twirling it and placing it on the table. A crooked grin curved his lips at Orion's exasperated expression.
"I wouldn't have kept it," Asher retorted.
"Boys, I swear none of you have grown up since I first met you as children,"
Nali said, with a shake of her head, before she turned to look at Marina.
"I will help you free your people. The black evil inside the Sea Witch has been spreading out to seek other hosts. We must stop it before it is successful."
"You keep saying there is something inside, Magna. The only thing I saw was her black heart," Drago snarled. "I say I kill her and cut her heart out of her chest."
"Dragons have always been bloodthirsty beasts," Asher commented.
Drago turned, his eyes dancing with flames, and gave Asher a menacing grin.
"How about I show you firsthand how bloodthirsty I can be?" he offered.
Asher's gaze hardened, and his mouth tightened. Marina's eyes widened when she saw the flare of magic surrounding Asher. His aura, which had been faint but light and colorful, suddenly turned to a thick and menacing black, unlike anything she had ever seen before, even Magna. The coldness threatened to choke her. When the swirling color turned toward her as if aware that she could see it, she saw faces and greedy hands reaching for her. Frightened, she released a startled cry and swiftly rose from her chair, reaching for Mike as she jerked away.
"Marina, what is it?" Nali asked in concern.
Marina's terrified gaze locked with Asher's. The Pirate King's expression changed. He took a deep breath. There was a look of warning for Marina to keep what she saw to herself. Her head unconsciously rose and fell in a short, jerky nod. She held on to Mike, her body trembling, even as the tortured faces locked in Asher's aura faded.
"Nothing,"
she whispered, tearing her gaze away from Asher.
"Please, I need a moment alone."
"Marina," Mike said, watching her turn and hurry out of the room. Marina shook her head. She needed a few minutes alone to compose herself. There were stories told as she was growing up that the kings and queens of the Isles were not what they appeared to be. She had learned today that the stories were true, but some of them were vastly understated. The sound of the door quietly closing behind Marina echoed loudly in the suddenly silent room. Mike turned and gave each person in the room a cold, hard look of warning. Stepping up to the table, he braced his hands on it and spoke in a slow, measured cadence.
"I don't give a fuck what you are,"
he started, capturing each person's gaze again.
"I don't give a damn if you have issues with each other. What I do care about is what is happening to Marina and her people. My job is to serve and protect. I will do that. It is not to go in with the intention of revenge. It is to go in with the intention of freeing those imprisoned by this sea witch. I don't know if the spell she created will affect you the way it does Magna and the others with magic. If it does, you can expect to feel weak. Now, are you going to work with us or not?"
"I have said I will. The spell will affect each of us. I will have to keep my ogres away, but the Cyclops and Minotaurs who are members of my crew should be safe,"
Nali said.
"You get me. There are no other dragons who can fight, but I will fight. And try not to kill her if I can," Drago responded. "I will fight as well. I should have taken care of her long ago," Orion said.
Corgan nodded.
"I should have come to Queen Magicka when she first asked," he replied with a sigh of regret. I will stand with you.
Mike's gaze moved to Asher. The man's troubled expression cleared, and he nodded. Mike didn't miss the way Asher's gaze kept going to the door that Marina had escaped through.
A pirate never turns down a good fight, he replied, in a light tone that belied the steely look in his eyes. Of course we will fight.
Mike nodded and gave everyone a grim smile. Does anyone have a map of the isle, specifically the palace? He asked, with a raised eyebrow.
I do,
Marina quietly said, stepping back into the room. Mike turned and saw that her expression was determined, even if her eyes were slightly red. She lifted her chin and returned his gaze. She had retrieved Mr. Bow from their room. Lifting his arm, he held out his hand to her.
Are you all right?
He murmured under his breath. Marina nodded as she grasped his hand and squeezed his fingers. He noticed that she kept her gaze focused on Asher.
Thank you for helping my people, Marina finally said.
Now, this is what we will do, Orion began.
Chapter 18. You are a very unusual woman, Marina Fay of the Isle of Magic,
Asher casually commented later that evening. Marina lifted her chin and turned at the sound of Asher's voice. Her back was pressed against the stone balcony railing. Behind her, the beautiful palace gardens were coming alive with the twinkling lights as the night-blooming flowers opened up to catch the moonbeams shining down from the nearly full moon. She had stepped outside to revel in the beauty of the night and the fact that she didn't feel drained by Magna's horrible spell. It seemed a lifetime since she had been able to enjoy the daytime, much less the suffocating tiredness of nightfall. Mike was still inside, talking with Carly and Jenny. She had quietly slipped away, afraid that he would talk about returning to his world. Marina studied Asher's aura. It was once again the faint yet colorful hue that was non-threatening. In the background, she could hear the others quietly talking. The open door and voices reassured her that she wasn't alone. Still, she couldn't quite keep her fingers from itching to call for Mr. Bow. Her gaze moved to where he was hanging near the door to the dining room.
I am but a simple witch, Your Majesty, Marina replied, turning back to stare out at the garden.
Not so simple, I would argue, he said, coming to stand next to her.
He reached out and gripped the railing. His gaze moved over the garden, watching as the flowers lit up in a wide, vivid display of color. He took a deep breath.
I don't know what you mean, she lied.
Asher chuckled and glanced at her before returning his attention to the garden.
You should never lie to a pirate, my dear. We are gifted with the ability to smell a lie, he said, briefly touching his nose with one finger.
I may have certain talents, she finally admitted.
Powerful ones that are very dangerous to some people, he murmured, with a slight thread of steel in his voice.
Marina didn't reply. While his words might have sounded threatening, neither his aura, which she could see out of the corner of her eye, or his tone, made her feel as if he was a danger to her. Still, she could not erase the memory of tortured faces and beseeching hands reaching for her.
How can you stand it?
She wondered aloud, unsure of how to finish her question. Asher dryly chuckled.
We are not always given a choice as to what happens to us in our lives. It is how we deal with what we are given that defines who we are and who we are to become, he replied.
Marina thought about what Asher had said. For a man who liked to appear light-hearted and unconcerned, his response was perceptive. She could appreciate his insight. Growing up, she had thought of her ability to see other people's magic as a burden.
Grandmother warned me to make sure that the evil inside Magna does not touch the Keeper of Lost Souls. You are the Keeper, aren't you?
She quietly asked, turning her head to look at Asher's face. His face hardened for a moment before he relaxed.
I am many things, Marina. Some might call me a keeper. Some accuse me of keeping them prisoner, while others call me a thief, he replied with a shrug.
What would you call yourself? She asked, unable to contain her curiosity.
Usher flashed her a brief smile.
All of the above. And a great lover, he replied.
He said the last part slightly louder and turned at the same time. Marina stood still when he grabbed her hand and pressed a kiss to the back of it before releasing it.
If you ever tire of your human, I would be happy to console you, should you need a diversion. My powerful and noble witch.
Marina blinked in surprise and pulled her hand away. Usher nodded to Mike and murmured that it was a beautiful night before disappearing back inside. Her gaze followed the Pirate King. He was a very complex man under his elegant coat.
What was all that about? Mike asked, following her gaze.
Accepting the gifts we have been given by the goddess, even if they feel more like a curse, she replied, in a distracted voice.
Alone, later that evening, Marina sat at the dressing table, brushing her hair. Placing the brush on the table, she divided her hair into four sections and began braiding it. In the mirror, she could see Mike sitting on the end of their bed, inspecting the weapon from his world.
What will you do if we survive this? She quietly asked,
tying off the end of her hair and letting her hands fall to her lap. Mike looked up at her and frowned. He shook his head and smiled. His gaze was deadly serious when he answered her.
Not if, when, we free your people.
I'm not sure. I honestly haven't thought that far with everything going on, he confessed, rising off the bed and replacing his weapon in the leather holster.
Will you return to your world? She asked.
Mike's expression grew thoughtful. She could see that he wasn't sure how to answer her. Turning on the seat, she rose and walked toward him. Doubt grew inside her at his continued silence.
Marina, he started to say.
She stopped in front of him and searched his eyes, seeing the frustration and indecision in them. Biting her lip, she placed her hand on his chest, over his heart.
You know that I love you, and I know that you love me. But is our love enough that you would stay in my world? She asked,
fingering the buttons on his shirt. Mike captured her hand. Bringing it to his lips, he pressed a kiss to her fingertips. Desire pulled at Marina when he reached out with his other hand and slid it along her waist.
I do care about you. Hell, I more than care. I meant it when I said that I love you, he replied in a rough voice.
Marina slid her arms around his waist and rested her head against his chest. Closing her eyes, she took a deep breath, loving the warmth of his body against hers. Yet, doubt continued to plague her, even with his words. If he loved her, why would he hesitate to tell her whether he planned to stay or leave her?
But you still plan to return to your world, don't you? She murmured.
Mike pulled back and raised his hands to cup her face. She returned his steady gaze. There was an intensity to him, a determination that told her that he did plan to leave. A stifled cry of denial slipped out before she could contain it. Pulling away, she shook her head and backed up several feet. Trembling, she fought to control her rising panic.
I have to go back, he said in a grim tone.
Marina wrapped her arms around her waist. Her eyes burned, but she refused to allow any tears to fall. She would not attempt to hold him to her if he did not wish to be there. Unfortunately, she couldn't hide the distress on her face at his grimly spoken words.
Then you should go before we leave, she said in a trembling voice.
Mike blinked in surprise.
What?
Marina dropped her arms to her side and clenched her hands into tight fists. Lifting her chin, she drew on the strength she had developed over the past year. She would not allow him to see how much this was tearing her apart.
I said you should leave now. I will ask Orion if he can create a portal, so you may return to your world. If he can't, I'm sure that one of the others can. They are very powerful, much more than I. You should not risk your life for people you don't know, she stated.
Mike stared at her like she had lost her mind. Marina didn't care. She would rather he left before there was a chance of something happening to him. At least, if he returned to his world, she would know he was safe. There was no need for him to remain anyway. The combined strength of the remaining rulers and their armies were surely strong enough to defeat Magna and her creatures, especially if they attacked before dawn when her magic was weak.
No, he replied, between gritted teeth.
Marina blinked.
What do you mean, no? This is not your fight, Mike. You've done enough. There is no need for you to risk your life.
She pursed her lips and shook her head when her voice broke on the last word. Bowing her head, she closed her eyes. She had to get out of the room. The fragile hold she had on her emotions was quickly dissolving. If she didn't leave now, she would make a fool of herself and beg him to tell her why he didn't want to stay with her if he loved her. I plan to come back, Marina, Mike said, taking a step closer to her. I have to return, but only so that I can say goodbye. Marina slowly lifted her head and opened her eyes. Tears glittered in them, hanging onto her lower lashes, but not falling. Lifting a hand, she brushed it across her pale cheek.
Goodbye?
She repeated.
Mike's expression softened at her whispered word.
He cupped her face again. His eyes searched her face. He must have seen the uncertainty, fear, and despair in her eyes, because he bent his head and brushed a rough kiss across her lips. Pulling back, he made sure she understood what he was telling her.
I told you a little about my life back there, and about my sister, Ruth. I know she is probably getting frantic. She will tear Yahat State Park apart, stone by stone, if I know her. I'm all the family she has. And until I met you, Jeff, and Aaron, she was all the family I had. Well, except for Charlie, but that is a different story, he muttered.
I understand. I feel the same way about my parents and brothers, she replied.
I need to let her know that I'm okay, that, hell, I don't know what I'll tell her, but essentially I'll let her know she doesn't have to worry about me. I know it isn't safe to take you back with me. I won't risk anything happening to you, but I sure as hell will be coming back. I love you. Damn it, I love you.
Marina met his lips when he bent his head to kiss her again. Their breaths came in rough, uneven gasps as the heat inside them built. She pulled away with a gasp when she felt the cool air on her breasts. During their kiss, Mike had been busy undoing the clasps on the forest green blouse Kelia had given her this morning.
I want you, he said, pressing kisses along her jaw.
A soft moan slipped from her lips when he cupped her breasts in his hands. She frantically fumbled to open his shirt. A groan of frustration resounded through the room when she realized that the buttons only went halfway down the front. She would need to pull his shirt over his head to strip it from him. He reached down, grabbed the bottom of his shirt, and pulled it over his head. His muscles rippled as he tossed it to the side. He deftly removed her blouse and the black bra under it.
It only seems fair, he teased, cupping her breasts.
Marina lowered her eyelids and moaned as he played with her hardening nipples.
How is it that you affect me like this? I can already feel the warmth between my legs as my body gets ready for you, she confessed.
Mike paused for a brief second before he cursed.
Damn, woman, you say the sexiest things, he said in a deep voice.
Sexy,
she repeated. Bending forward, he began undoing her pants when she didn't move fast enough.
You make me wish that I brought my handcuffs. I'd love to tie you up, he muttered, pushing her pants down.
I do not know what handcuffs are, but would a belt work?
She asked, glancing over at the robe lying across the back of the chair. Mike froze.
He didn't mean to say that out loud.
He'd planned to work his way up to some of the more risque ways of making love after he felt confident that Marina was ready. He wasn't into the hardcore bondage stuff, but he wasn't opposed to having a little fun in the bedroom.